The case involving three children in Chandler taken from their parents is garnering national attention. It's also resulted in a judge ordering how the media can report on the case. Arizona Republic reporter Diana Nanez is covering the story, joins us in studio. Diana, welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me today.
So I think the first question for you is to give us just a little bit of background on what the case involved. It is related to concerns about DCS.
Yeah, so it's a very complicated case, but I'll give you guys kind of in a nutshell. This case had several flashpoints from the very beginning, and I think that's why it kind of ended up in this national conversation. A family in late February, a mother took her child, her toddler, to a naturopathic doctor in Tempe. And the child had a high fever. During that conversation, the doctor found that the child had not been vaccinated. The mother had told that to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, my concern is that with a child that hasn't been vaccinated, has a high fever, there could be the potential for meningitis, so that's a very serious condition. I'd like you to take the child to the hospital. She told her to go to Banner Hospital. And so the mother left. On the way home, the child was playful, according to the mother. She took the child's temperature again. Temperature had got back down, subsided. And later she called the doctor that evening and said, child's fine. We'll watch the toddler, but fever's down, so we're good. Doctor said, no, you have to take the child. When the doctor later found out that the child had not arrived at the hospital, the doctor made a decision to take the child to talk to DCS, call DCS hotline. It's open 24 hours. As most people know, doctors among social workers have a certain obligation when they feel that there could be a life-threatening condition to call that hotline. This doctor made that decision, called the hotline. DCS ends up responding. As they do, they've made statements that they follow certain policies and certain steps to when they elevate. In this case, it appears that the caseworker thought it was worth checking into. Called Chandler Police. I need a child welfare check on a child with a fever. Police head out there. What we know is for a period of over several hours, the police tried to knock on the door. We're here to check on the child. And the family said, our child's fine. There's no reason to do a middle-of-the-night run to the emergency room for our son. We're not going to do this. And then basically at that point in time, DCS finally decided around midnight or so to get a request to a judge in for a warrant to remove the child. Temporary custody notice is what they're called. They got that. Again, police says we should go ahead and let us in. We need to do a child welfare check. They end up with normal procedure, guns drawn, break down the door, get in, check the child. Child's fever had subsided according to EMTs on site. However, DCS made the decision to take that child as well as their other two children.
Yeah, that's a lot of background. So let's go to where we're at now with the court situation and what the judge has said to people who either want to attend the hearing or report on the hearing. What has the judge said? And is this, based on the story you wrote, it sounds fairly unprecedented what he's decided to do.
Yes. So and basically what the judge has done, and I do have to take you back to the initial hearing. The initial hearing was early March. I attended that hearing. We got what is called an admonishment. DCS's attorney from the Arizona Attorney General's office had asked for the hearing to be closed. Judge Green at that hearing had said, in Arizona, we have like our hearings to be open. We do have a presumption in Arizona, as you're very familiar with, to have our courts open for the public to attend. So the court was left open, but she told everyone, you are not to release any personally identifiable information. Those are names of parents, others in the hearing, social security numbers, standard things that you and I would think, okay, that's something, that's my social security number, that's personally identifiable. I wrote a story. We went back for the next hearing. At that hearing, Judge Ryan had now had that case. He's the presiding judge of the juvenile courts for Maricopa County. He said, you must immediately leave. We think you may have violated the order for confidentiality in the past hearing. Mm. I left. Shortly after, Representative Kelly Townsend, who's been watching and monitoring this, she's concerned that this family was targeted because of the lack of vaccinations. She also is the legislator who pushed for language for the warrants. So she has an interest in watching it. She was also asked to leave. The Judge Ryan told her she must immediately leave. She asked for reasons, which is very standard. Give it to me in writing. She was not given that. Fast forward to last week. One of our Arizona Republic reporters, Mary Jo Pitzel, went to that hearing. Judge Ryan then told her in that hearing, according to a member of the public, Lori Ford, who monitors these trials, according to her, she said, you are not to write a single news story about what happened here.
Diana, I have to jump in because we just have a few seconds left. Can you make this as short as possible? I know it's important. So what is the next step then in terms of either responding to the judge? Can the judge continue to keep this restriction? As you said, this is not usually how it works in courts in Arizona.
This is not usually how it works. You hit the nail on the head. The next steps is the judge, according to Ford, did tell the Attorney General's office that if they want to close the hearing, they can petition the court. So we're waiting to hear if that's the case. But ultimately, at this point, much of what we have to report on is secondhand since we have been banned from publishing.
Diana Nanez of the Arizona Republic. We'll have to have you back to talk more about this. Thanks, Diana.
Thank you.